The Nikki Glaser Podcast. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Taking a swig of coffee. Whoops. And I'm ready to go. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Last show of the week. But don't worry, we'll be back Monday. Long weekend ahead of us. It's too long. I want to do this show every day. I've been getting so many nice DMs. No, I'm sure you read our listener mail and hear all the nice things people say, all the accolades we get, as my dad's, that's my dad's favorite word. You don't get enough accolades. He didn't give you any accolades. Man, I got some great accolades about you. But thank you for all your accolades, everyone. And for saying, someone said, like, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have your show to listen to every night. And my first instinct was to say, well, is there something I can send you on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Because I don't want you to be sad. Like, I don't want you to find out what you would do without it, because you got to be without us. But as always, you can go back and, you know, if you like me and Andrew and this, you're new to this, there's tons of clips on YouTube from our show, You Up. They're really fun to watch, and just wait till Monday. But we got a great show for you today. I'm going to get into it. Noah, how are you?
I'm doing great. I was just going to add that's why I love the listener mail segment on this show, because we get to actually, it's like talking to listeners.
We get to dig in to it.
Yeah.
And we get to address it. I know. I wish I there's part of me that wants to do it every day. We don't have a long enough show. That's the thing. Okay, I'm going to talk really fast, because you might need to slow this down, because I got a lot to cover. So yesterday, I finished the podcast, which was so much fun, with Emily Morse, and got so much good feedback on that. So many people are laughing so much. So many friends that I haven't talked to in so long email me to be like, I listened to the show, and I'm like, there's part of me that's horrified, because I'm just honest on here in a way that I don't want my friends to hear. And I know that sounds weird, but like, it's just true. Like, sometimes I like talk shit on here that like I don't want my parents or my friends to know. I don't know. I'm so, let me just address that off the top. Like, I just posted a story on my Instagram that like about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I was just going to get Starbucks. I'm staying on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is like Skid Row right now. Like, it's really dangerous. You shouldn't go walking there at night. It is not a tourist desert. Like, there's just spilled Thai food everywhere. Like, it's just, you know, it's homeless encampment, and there's like homeless people that are just standing catatonically, like in the middle of the sidewalk. And this is like walking to get Starbucks in a very touristy area. And I have so much sadness for these people, because they're just mentally ill, and there's no part of me that's like, get the fuck out of here. I'm just like, this is sad. Anyway, but it's like annoying, because I'm trying to get my latte, and there's like a weird, like muttering, mumbling homeless man standing on Julia Louis-Dreyfus's star. My point is, I just filmed all the stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Like, as I was walking towards Starbucks, I go, I don't know hardly any of these people. And they were famous enough at one point to earn a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is no small feat. Which is also what I put on my Tinder profile. No small feat. Okay. Because I know what that means. Actually, I would like a guy with small feet, because we can share shoes. That's what me and Andrew do. Andrew's shoes, if you don't know, we measured them once. He fought it so hard years ago. Andrew, I have bigger calves than Andrew. Circumference-wise, I've got some meaty calves, which I've accepted genetically. I don't do anything for them. People seem to like them. I always hated my calves. I'm accepting them now. I do have meatier calves than Andrew. He has more toned, defined calves. I am jealous. We did measure. But he also has slightly bigger feet than me. He is a full-grown man. And he has, and I do have big feet for a woman. I'm a 9.5. I can squeeze into nines if I'm feeling little. But I'm a 9.5. Andrew is a solid 9.5, 10 men or women. And we share shoes. And many times I've gotten shoes that are a little too big, and I give them to Andrew, and he wears them. And he looks good in a pump. So with those calves, I mean, honestly, Andrew's legs are like ideal woman's legs. I'm not joking you. If you think my legs are good, look at Andrew's, and no joke, let's post them later. So walking down the Hollywood Walk of Fame, don't recognize any of these faces or any of these stars. I would say 1 in 4 is like, oh, I've heard of them. And then 1 in 8 is like, oh yeah, I know that guy. And they're always the star to the side that is like an add on. So I just filmed myself walking, and I'm just right. It's going, don't know. Yep. don't know, yes, love her, never heard of him. And my point was to display like how easily people are forgotten. And I need to remind myself of that, because sometimes I go through, you know, Daily Mail or like celebrity gossip, because I'm someone who loves to consume that stuff as a consumer, not as like looking for myself in it. But I love, like, the Why Do I Care segment is based upon the fact that, like, I'm trying to bring light to the fact that fame is stupid, to remind myself, because it's projection, because it's a sad pursuit. The other night on stage, I go, I'm like, you know, like, everyone doing comedy, like, is sad, is like, didn't get enough love as a child, regardless of how much their parents loved them. They just, like, required more, and they didn't give enough, or they didn't get enough, so they're, like, pursuing that now and forever. And people in the audience were like laughing, like not even, I wasn't trying to be funny, but they were kind of like, what? And I go, wait, did you guys not know that? So it's just a nice reminder to me that everyone will be forgotten. So anyway, I was filming it, Noah. And last night I was hanging out with some comics backstage. I met so many good comics last night. I'll get into it in a second. New comics, people I'm just like very excited about being friends with, and some oldie goldies. And there was one comic who I've heard many stories about from people that work closely with this person. And I don't like the stories. If anything, I should call my good friend Gloria Allred, whose card I got one time because I approached my friend Alex Edelman, approached her at the Magic Castle when she was having dinner. We were there watching Magic. And I was like, oh my God, I love Gloria Allred. If you don't know who she is, she's the woman that like sits next to every crying woman who accuses someone of rape in Hollywood. And, you know, when there's a press conference, Gloria Allred's next to her, like with her hand on her shoulder being like, you can do this. And Alex went up to Gloria and was like, my friend's a big fan. We just want to say hi. I'm a big fan too. And I was like, Alex, don't. And she was so nice. And she literally did the thing. I did it in, I was in a sketch called 80s Ladies for the Amy Schumer Show, or the Inside Amy Schumer. And we were dressed as 80s ladies. And one of my lines was like, girl, call my analyst, because everyone in the 80s was talking about analysts instead of therapists. And I did the flick with my card where I like put the card in between my two fingers and I go, you need to talk to my analyst. Literally, that's what Gloria Allred did with her own card. I still have it in my wallet. I lost that wallet. I threw it out. This is a true story. Had it for years in my wallet. I'm like, I have Gloria Allred's card. If any man ever tries any shit with me, or woman, it's a two-way street. And I lost it because I threw my wallet in the trash one day because of my ADD. I didn't realize I did it and I was throwing away trash. There goes my wallet. Didn't realize it until like days later, you know, because everything's digital now. And then you have to write a check and you're like, what is that? And then you realize you threw your wallet in the trash. I saw Gloria Allred at LAX years later walking by in a terminal. And I go, I need her card again. And I said, can I have your card again? And she goes, my sweater. And I go, yes. And your card again. And I said, just like an old cardigan under someone's bed, I threw my wallet in the trash. So she gave me her sweater. No, she gave me your card again. I go, I need your card. I love having your card in my wallet. It was a staple of my wallet. I would bring it out anytime I opened my wallet. And she gave me it again, did the finger thing. I don't know if she did the finger thing that time. But anyway, the person I heard stories about, I saw that maybe they came up on my little walk while I was filming and I didn't expect them to. And I couldn't help myself going, ugh. And it's someone who's still working. And I just put it out there. And there's a part of me that's like, what if someone finds this? And then then it becomes a story that Nikki Glaser ughed this person. What does she know? And then I was like, what's the harm in that? Because I know something terrible about this person, but I will tell you, I'll probably take it down before this airs. And so this is only for people who have already told my story or seen my story on my Instagram. Sorry if you missed it, because I'm scared of this person's power. However, I am slowly building a group of, I'm going to try, because the person I talked to that has the most stories, cannot talk about it for many reasons. But she said, where there's one, there's hundreds of others, because this person was very, the stories this person, it's so disgusting, Noah. This person, I've always got the heebie-jeebies from. And that's the thing. Usually these men that come out for being really disgusting scumbags to women are just scumbags in general. And they give you a vibe, and your vibe is probably right. Anyway, I'm going to take us down because I'm scared of that person. Isn't that funny? I'm scared. The other day I got a write up for trashing Ellen, and Ellen, first of all, she lost her show. Her show's done, which she said she walked away from because she was, we covered it on the show. She was just like tired or whatever, or like she wasn't having fun anymore. It has nothing to do with the other stuff. And it's like, someone made a good point on a podcast that was like, no, she goes, it's not like, it's not challenging anymore. And it goes, actually, I think you mean the very opposite. It's finally challenging and you don't like it because people know. So whatever it is with Ellen, I'm still scared of her and I would love to meet her and I'm a huge fan, even though, you know, I would assume all of the things are true. Maybe not all. Some things can be exaggerated when stories get out, but you, when you go to LA and you live here, I always say, my joke is that when you land in LA, it's kind of like Hawaii, where they put a lei around your neck. Here, you land in LA or you drive in to go, I'm going to make it in Hollywood. And they go, welcome to LA. Ellen's terrible. And you go, what? And you go, they go, yeah, that's your gift to come to LA. That's the thing you get here that you can't find anything else. You'll find out she's not what she seems. And you go, no. And you take that lei and you go, I'm going to bring it back to the Midwest and show my mom. And then you go home for Christmas. You go, mom, guess what? Your favorite person isn't what you think. And your mom goes, no. And they don't believe you. And they go, that's a fake lei. And you go, no, mom, these are real flowers. But by then it's wilted. And it wasn't what it seems when you got it. And your stories that back it up are kind of like, I don't know if it's true. And then you question it. And then you're scared for your career because she could ruin you. Anyway, at the MTV Movie Awards, I did a segment called In Memoriam, where we like said goodbye to all the things that had died in unscripted TV. And it was supposed to be like, I presented it as like, our innocence was lost when, you know, we found out the Tiger King was banging that meth head and that meth head was gay or pretending to be gay, even though he just wanted meth. Like, just, I wanted things like concepts to be lost. But my writers came up with like brilliant ones, you know, different objects that were lost, table smashed, you know, glass being, champagne glasses shattered from Real Housewives, really funny stuff. And then one slide that I didn't even write, and I definitely approved because I saw it, but I barely remembered seeing it, said Ellen's Reign of Terror. And it was like dated, like it was like, 2003 to 2021. And it was like a black and white photo of her maybe looking, I don't even know what it was. The next day, so many media outlets picked it up and said, Nikki Glaser skewers Ellen DeGeneres. And then they had a photo of Ellen like the next day, which they always do in the Daily Mail to like reiterate a headline that got a lot of attention. They'll be like, Ellen steps out for coffee amidst Nikki Glaser's skewering last night. So it looks like Ellen's still thinking about it, even though Ellen probably didn't even see it. And I didn't skewer her. I just said cut to a video montage, which I didn't even write. I was too busy working on the other parts of the show that I just go, my writers are funny, fill it with funny stuff. And they did. And it got a headline. So my point about the stars, though, everyone dies and most people are not remembered. And that was soothing to me to know that I'm not going to be remembered someday. I'm going to be a star on the Walk of Fame because I plan on getting one, even though now I would like it. I would like my star next to Starbucks, by the way, like on my way. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on my walk, which is, she's the greatest of all time, but she will be forgotten too. And so will I. And so will Obama. I say that to myself sometimes. Someday there will be a generation, if we last that long. I don't think humanity will, but if humanity keeps going, there will be people that will not know who Barack Obama is. Just like, you know, there's some people will, but there are presidents that if you go, this was a president, I'd go, what? Calvin Hobbs. No, that's not one. But Calvin Coolidge. I would say most teens, unless they're like recently learned about him, do not know that that was a president. And yet he was probably like the Obama of his time. I don't think that's true. Anyway, I'll be forgotten. You'll be forgotten. It all doesn't matter. Let's get Andrew in here. And I want to talk about last night because it was awesome. And I didn't even get to it in the segment, which I was going to, but stay tuned. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
How'd you sleep last night?
I slept good. I had the whole place to myself. I ate a quarter of a weed edible.
Why?
High.
Oh, you had the girl over?
No, Ari came over. Our friend Ari, who's also a comedian.
Oh, yeah, Ari
town.
Findling. Hilarious. And
We watched the Knicks game, and he had a bunch of gummies, and he's like, just eat half. Don't be a pussy. And I ate a quarter, and then I ate a half, and then he left, and I was very stoned, and I started eating my sushi, and I started getting worried that I wasn't swallowing it correctly. And then I played on TikTok for 3 hours and then fell asleep.
Do you know that eating weed and smoking weed are two completely different drugs?
Yes, I'm not born under a rock.
People don't know that. I bet most people listening are finding out for the first time. So just because you like smoking weed does not mean edible weed is going to be, it's literally a different compound in your body. So
yeah,
I don't eat weed ever anymore.
I told him that. I was like, last time I ate an edible, I just watched a TV and it wasn't even on. And it was a good movie, though.
Wait, was your panic about swallowing correctly, which is a thing that you struggle with that we know about, that was definitely brought on by the weed. Were you able to get out of it really quickly, or was TikTok like a soothing mechanism?
I actually forced myself to eat the sushi. Like, I was just, I don't know, when I smoke weed, I'm just very aware of the food in my mouth. So every chew, I can feel it hitting my teeth. I could feel the seaweed. I could feel the salmon. Right. Like okay. I could feel the chewiness of the salmon. I'm just very...
Sorry if anyone has misophonia and has to hear about the sounds of that would normally drive you nuts. Will you do it again? Like, this is the thing with weed is I find so many people have a bad experience, and I'm one of those people too, yet you keep doing it thinking there's going to be something else that happens. And that's what I felt with edibles until I went on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he was like, you know, it's a different chemical compound. Like, it's a different drug. And I go, okay, that's because I kept waiting for edible weed to have the same effect that smoking weed does. And I hate eating weed. And then now I'm just like, I don't do it. Will you do it again?
I don't think so.
Were there benefits to it other than not being a pussy in front of Ari, who is a giant pussy in so many ways? We can't even get into what a pussy that guy is, even though he's hilarious and one of our best friends. Giant puss.
Yeah, he goes,
bigger than mine yesterday after a wand.
Damn, that's big.
I know. Yeah.
That's a giant squid down there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you
hit it up again on in L.A.?
No. That was, I meant like yesterday after, like two nights ago. I went to town. I really was like, you know what? I'm not going to see anyone. This has time to deflate. I'm not showing it to anyone anytime soon. And even if it didn't, I don't care.
What about a buffer?
I use a buffer. I do it outside my comforter. So there's a duvet, a comforter, and a sheet. Then that's where I start, and then I move it into the sheet, and then I put it like above, like not directly on because it's too much. And then when I really start going, I'm just like, like full pressure. And I rarely get to that point, but I just go wild with it at the end. And I know things are. It's like when I did it with my migraine, like there's a part where it feels so good and you can't stop, even though you know it's shaking so hard that it's going to make you swollen. Like there's a part, it starts buzzing your head in a way that I just know inflation's about to happen when I do it on my head. And I just don't care because it feels so good on my head. That's when I have migraines. Andrew, I want to get to something.
Sorry. A guy who like, I start rubbing my dick on top of my jeans. Then I take my jeans off and I rub them on top of my boxers. And then when I'm real horny.
Okay, well, that's what I'm telling you. This is why men need empathy in bed. Men need to understand that women, this is the whole point of my special banging, was that foreplay, we need outside the comforter. we need a warm up. Guys just want to go right in. And I think that's what we often, that's why we go hard on blowjobs right away. We take it to a 10 immediately when you should start off. Guys don't even know they want it and they wouldn't do it to themselves, but start off with a 3 and then like ease in and then pull away. Do some teasing. So I like tease myself.
There's something
like,
so
I
funny
actually bully myself.
Feeling my own hard cock through my jeans and getting turned on. It feels like it's like someone else's dick. I know.
No, but that's what women do. We go like, we try to feel ourselves. That's what Emily is talking about, is like be sensual with yourself, even though it feels ridiculous.
Yeah.
To even talk about. I had the most fun last night. So I got in. First of all, I get on the plane yesterday and I'm like, put my guitar up in the thing, and I'm just worried it's gonna crack. I'm in like a bad mood because of whatever. I'm just like kind of hastily putting it up there, and then I'm in like the first class, but it's like a St. Louis flight, so it's not like really first class. And I sit in the wrong seat, and then I go, oh shit, and I go, oh, I'm actually right there. And I say to the guy that's on the aisle of my seat, and I'm in the window, and I like step over him, and just, I'm just like a mess, you know? And I sit down, and I'm there for a second, and then I pull up my phone, and I get a text from Joe Buck, a famous sports caster, just overall like hilarious person. I first found out about Joe Buck when I was listening to the Howard Stern show back in like, I think 2015 or something, just driving around 16. And he did a play-by-play of JD eating on the Howard Stern show, like just eating a snack. And it was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard on the show, which says, you know, a lot, because that show is funny all the time. And I just couldn't believe how funny this was. And then I stuck around for his interview. I think a little bit later they had him on and interviewed him. And he was just his candor about having hair transplant, and like just, he was just very vulnerable in a way that I was like, oh, I'm not going to know this sports guy. But he's also from St. Louis, so there was a little interest there. So funny. Cut to, I became friends with him from living in St. Louis. I did his podcast. I forget how we met initially. Maybe we were on a show together. I don't even know. But I sit down and I get a text from Joe Buck that says, I'm sitting directly to your right. And I look past the guy sitting next to me because I'm thinking, oh, it's like he's in the across the aisle. He's literally right next to me. And I was like, oh my God, like, Joe, it's a 4-hour flight. Joe and I talked the whole time, had the best time. And I'm very aware, and my ADD meds were kicking in. So I was just like, that'll get it. But I get it. And because I was going to like get work done, because I had to rewrite this. I'm doing the iHeartRadio Awards tonight, and I have to present best new artist, and there's like a joke at the top, and I wanted to rewrite it, and I had a due date, and I was supposed to write it on the plane, but I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna talk to Joe Buck. We had the best talk. We just like, it's just like, it was just so, if someone overheard us, boy, the juice they could have heard, because we were really getting into just like stories. I mean, he knows so many people. He's been around, he's friends with literally everyone I'm friends with. There's no one he doesn't know. He's such a humble, cool guy. He's just like talking to a friend. And so we have a new friend in St. Louis, Joe Buck, and his wife is really cool too. I haven't met her yet, but he was just telling me stories about, I was just like, I can't wait to hang out with you guys. And like, I'm just psyched about it, having a new friend. And you know Joe Buck, obviously.
I mean, I know him through my buddy Glenn sports. And Marshall, his brother. They're good friends.
Him as like a...
Oh, like, yes, yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of people know Joe Buck through that famous Artie Lang coming at him saying that he would never be like his father. You've never seen this?
You told me about it and I didn't want to see it because Artie was just in so much pain and such an addict at the time.
Yeah, Joe dealt with it great. He's living up to his father literally, I think, has a road named after him here in St. Louis. And there's a lot of pressure there to be a good sportscaster. I mean, you can't hide if you're bad, if you're a sport, you know what I mean? It's like if your dad was Richard Pryor or something.
I know, we were talking about that. And the thing is, Joe's now been in the business, I think, longer than his dad was.
Yeah.
I don't know the stats of what he's accomplished, but he is a talent in his own right that far exceeds, but we were watching that documentary. I even asked him about it because I go, last night, Andrew and I were watching that Prince Harry, Oprah, new Apple documentary about childhood trauma. And Prince Harry talks about his mom dying, Princess Diana. And they show footage of him just like greeting mourning fans when he was just like catatonic because he just lost his mom and he's a little boy. And he's greeting these fans that are sobbing. And he's like, I was just telling, like looking at these people crying. They didn't know my mom. It was my mom. And I can't even cry. And these people are just so sad. And I couldn't get there. And just that feeling of people feeling like they knew someone that you knew and they didn't even like that was your mom. And I would just be like, you didn't even fucking know her, you know? And so I asked him like, do you ever feel that way with your dad? Because everyone that meets you goes, your dad was such a legend. It's like, but to him, it was just your dad.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And he related a lot. It was an interesting conversation, but he
I relate a lot to that. Yeah. My dad, like, so when I worked for him for like one summer, I was like a filer at his doctor's office, and he's a cancer doctor. So I'd get in the elevator with these cancer patients that my dad essentially saved their lives. And all I've heard about my dad is that he's a cheater and that he's not good and he doesn't care about us. And then I meet these people.
That's
and they're
what
like,
they knew. That's what they knew about him. He really got close with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he told every cancer patient, they're like, look, like, I'd rather have cancer than hear about
By the way,
yours.
Your dad, that he cheated on them with other cancer patients. That is true. Like, your doctor is like, seeing other people, and we don't go, you're seeing other people? Monogamy's dumb. Okay, go on.
No, but these patients would literally, like, almost break down in the elevator to me about how my father was, like, a godlike figure and how he saved their life. Like, literally a god. And I was just like, you know, I was, because as a kid, you just don't take it in. I didn't take in how hard my father worked or how many lives he saved.
Well, you hadn't eaten an edible and you couldn't feel it.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe now you chew on that a little bit.
Then I smoked some indica, sativa indica, and then I was just like, dude, my daddy rules, man.
Yeah.
My daddy saves lives.
I feel that way with when people are like, your parents are so cool. Like, even yesterday, Joe does a podcast called, I think, Daddy issues maybe. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. I'm not kidding.
Really?
He does. With Oliver Hudson, whose father is Kurt Hudson. No, not Kurt Russell, but Kate Hudson's brother, Oliver Hudson. Goldie Hawn's his mom. Kate Hudson's his sister. And his dad is someone Hudson.
I thought it's Kurt Russell.
Rock Hudson?
No, it's
maybe
Kurt.
Maybe it is Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Why is his last name Hudson then?
Because.
Great question.
Bill Hudson.
Bill Hudson's his, yeah, they have different, I think he is, Kurt Russell is not his dad. Anyway, but it is because, you know, he's been around forever now. But they have a show about dads, and they had me on to talk about my dad, and I just like was like, you know, espousing all my feelings about my dad, knowing that my dad would hear it, and like being really vulnerable about how much I love my dad. And you know, Joe has a lot of admiration for my dad because he sees him on my Instagram. He's like, he just seems like the nicest guy, the warmest guy, the funniest guy, the coolest guy. Everyone feels that way about my dad on Instagram. And I am like, well, Joe, can I share a little story with you from yesterday? And I was like, I really got one. And so I told him everything that I told you and my sister last night or two nights ago after I returned from a jam session with my dad, in which I have to have a little talk with my dad about the next time we have a jam session, because it ain't going to happen with the way that one went, even though he has no clue how much it hurt me. And boy, I cried a lot after that. And it felt very therapeutic. But I talked to Joe about it, and he came to the same conclusion of like, you just need to talk to your dad. And it seems like, you know, he might be going through something, and that's okay. And it was a good talk. It was just like, so you get so intimate with someone on a plane, because how often when you meet up with someone, do you sit inches from each other's face and sit shoulder to shoulder? That creates an intimacy, like a Dancing with the Stars intimacy, that like, you know, you just become so much closer with someone and get so much more in depth in conversation, which we're both, Joe and I are both already know each other and are both very vulnerable, open people and like truth tellers, and say things that, you know, maybe make other people uncomfortable, but we share stuff that's maybe painful. I've seen him do it a lot. Literally his hair transplant. I learned a lot about that too. Oh my God. He has such a good story. You got to read his book. If you're looking into hair transplant, he had one and it ruined his voice. And that's what I'm going to say. It's a crazy story, but yeah. So it was, but read his book. He's great. But anyway, it was a great time. And then I had a great time last night, and I'll get into it in a second, but we got to get to the news. And I think one of these headlines is one that I put in because of last night and something I learned last night. But let's get into it.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh boy, it's the last day of the week. You know what day that is. It's a Friday, but it actually comes out Thursday night. But who knows what's happening out there. Hope you're having fun, that's for sure. And all the swells. All right.
Wait, why do you sound so muffled to me?
When? Just then?
Yeah, you sounded a little... But maybe it was just because of the music playing.
Oh, how about
I
now?
I liked it.
How about now?
Yeah, you sound clear as a bell.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, should I say what I said? Oh, have a great time out there and all the swells. Okay. First story, man. Oh, it's a doozy. And this came straight from Nikki's old fingers or young fingers.
Wait, did you get a haircut?
No.
Oh, it looks shorter on the sides. Okay, go on.
Probably because I combed it. I haven't combed my hair in years. I don't even know.
Combed.
Combed.
Like you would own a comb.
Oh, you know how I dip it in water.
Honeycomb.
Yum, 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 yum. I taste yum, yum.
Misophonia.
Should we have someone go crazy by chewing?
No, 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 no. That's really mean. I don't want someone to strike their child because you can't help yourself making mouth sounds. Go.
All right. David Spade slides into Australian reporter Belinda Russell's DMs as Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod apparently sent
okay,
her.
Okay. Can I tell the story? Well, actually, I want you to try.
No, I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, I'm just saying because I know all the beats and I don't know if you read the whole thing.
I read all the beats and 8 beats last night after I was stoned.
Wait, tell us the story. Tell us.
No, you tell the story. You sent it to us. I know the story. I did my research.
Okay, so Belinda Russell is a TV host in Australia who's on this the Today Show in Australia, and live on the air, she just shares the anecdote that A-Rod slid into her DMs. This is a few days ago, maybe a week. I don't know when it happened. And she goes, oh, he said that I had, I like your content. Great content or something like that. And which is just a dumb thing to say. And this woman is clearly married with kids. And I just go, oh man, that's not a good, like that. Maybe it was him sliding. I think that he is spiraling because of J-Lo and now he has to promote men's makeup after J-Lo convinced him to she's probably blowing him and was just like, you know, it would be so fucking hot.
What's that?
If you started a makeup line with, no, I'm not doing this.
No,
with you.
Come on. It'll be fun. Come on.
Okay.
What's that?
A-Rod.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be so fucking hot.
First of all, the top of your head looks so good right now.
Thank you, but I'm looking up at you at this point, and I'm just like doing the over the covers. There's a duvet on your dick. You would be so fucking hot with like the biggest thread count because J-Lo, you know, always has the best linens. It would be so fucking hot if you invested with me in a makeup company for men. We could make so much fucking money. I would.
Wait, you know, you keep blowing me? You're talking.
No, not yet. Until you agree to this makeup deal, you're not allowed to come until you agree to.
Can you just explain?
So,
am I putting the makeup on in like a picture in kind of a girly way, and that everyone's gonna make fun of me?
Part of the ad campaign, but the baby, no one's gonna make fun of you because you're the straightest man alive. There's nothing feminine about that. You're with fucking J-Lo.
I'm losing my heart. Can we talk about this after?
Unless you agree to it.
I'll do the makeup thing. Just fucking suck my dick, please.
Okay. And then you come all over. Okay. So that's how she got him. And then 2 days later, she breaks up with him after he signs the contracts. And now he still has to go through with this makeup campaign. It is so fucking embarrassing. The poor guy is struggling. He's posted really erratic things all over social media. And just, you know, he's going through a breakup. So I think that in his mind, one night he got a little horny watching this woman's TikTok. He might have, I'm thinking maybe he remembered some flirty interaction he had in Australia with a host of a show and he couldn't really remember who it was and he probably guessed it was her and went to her thing. So he's trying to drum up anything and I think he just slid in thinking maybe she'll cheat. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking, but he wrote great content. And then she shared that on air thinking it was nothing because she couldn't keep it inside because she wanted to brag. Her husband's probably pissing her off and she just wants to feel cool. And everyone on the show was like, wait, what? He slid into your DMs?
Has visible
and she's like,
zits. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's.
Her husband has back knee. Yeah. Can I interject for 1 second?
Yeah.
Do you know that it came out that A-Rod blamed his daughters for writing the TikTok? Do you know this?
I heard that he said that his daughters enjoy her content. Sorry, I'm chewing because I thought you were going to talk longer.
But the daughters wrote him through his account. He blamed it on the daughters.
Yeah, right. God, that's such a lame thing to say. Why would any girl write, I love your content?
They're huge fans of Belinda Russell.
It was just great content. It wasn't even I love your content. It was great content.
Okay, that's not something a teenager says. I don't know how old his kids are.
they don't write that.
Wouldn't it be funny
right.
if his kids looked 50 and his girlfriend looked like J-Lo looks like a teen, but his kids, because everything has to stay in balance, his kids look like a 50-year-old woman.
And they just write great content, madam.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 50-year-old woman's comment. So then last night I'm at the Supernova, which is a really fun show in LA. I'm backstage. I went to go hang out with David Spade, because he had said that he was going to be there, and I was down the street at my hotel and bored, and my dinner plans canceled. So I was like, I'll step in. So I go hang out with him, and we're just talking about paparazzi and like headlines and stuff like that. And he's like, I did this thing. He was like, it's embarrassing to even tell you guys, 'cause it's like a brag, but like, I did this thing that I think is kind of funny. And it was so good, because David then wrote this woman, DM'd her from David Spade's account, and wrote, hey, it's A-Rod, new phone. And she like read it on air when she got it. And it was just like this perfect ending to this kind of like awkward thing that happened to this woman, that now she can like button it up, and she, you know, button up with this joke and kind of deflect any attention that might be negative of like, and it was just like really, I don't know. I just love when a comic like does something like that, that might not have a payoff, but then has like this beautiful payoff of like, she read it on air. She was like, oh my God, David Spade just wrote me that it's A-Rod, new phone. And then it just makes a joke of it, and then it takes the pressure off. And now there's probably less like stigma around it.
And there was no, you don't think Spade hit her up in a way of like being funny to then?
No, he was trying to, that was his goal. I think when I do stuff like that, your goal, or write a comment under someone celebrity's thing on Instagram, yeah, it's to get some attention and to like just be weird. You know, tonight I'm saying John Mayer's name on the iHeartRadio Awards. So stop biting. Why are you biting?
I'm not. I'm
something
pulling out skin.
Is making you nervous right now. Oh, okay, but no. There's something going on.
I have skin in between my teeth.
Really?
That I bit.
Off.
That's what
you
happened.
Got it? How do you get a piece of skin? You're always biting. How do you have fresh skin to bite off?
I don't know. It rekindles like a lizard's tail.
Is that why you're scared of lizards?
I'm jealous.
They can regenerate so faster than you. You're jealous of them. Next story.
It is wild. Their little tails just come right back. It's amazing. God, lizards, huh?
Next story.
Instagram-based celebrity gossip site,
Dis-moi.
I hate that word.
That's the one that everyone's on. It's French. It's de-moi. D-E-U-X, which is two, and then moi, M-O-I. De-moi.
All I see is de-moi.
Well, this is an Instagram account where they post anonymous. People just write. Anyone, any person can write into this place. And if the guys behind me and Joe Buck yesterday on the flight were listening, they could have written into DeMoi. This happens all the time. I was overhearing a conversation between comedian Nikki Glaser and sportscaster Joe Buck, and they were talking about so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da. And these people write in. So if you ever witness a celebrity doing anything, and these people, they are selling out everyone. And it's all anonymous, and it's all, like, not substantiated. But a lot of it is, like, comes out later, and it's always on their Instagram stories. DeMoi, DeuxMoi. I really hate them, because I was on it a couple weeks ago and I didn't like what they said about me. But listen, I still look on their site because I love celebrity gossip, even if it's not true.
Maybe it was Madam Hood that wrote it. Anyhow,
Clitoral Hood. Go on.
Kickstand. I received tips that Kanye West and supermodel Irina Shayk are possibly dating.
Wait, you just go DeMoi, and then I said this whole thing, and then you go receive tips. Like, you have to start the sentence over,
yeah,
I think, as
sure,
a newscaster.
For sure, for
right?
Sure.
Because you can't just say receive. People don't know what you're... Okay, so DeMoi received tips that Irina Shayk and Kanye West are dating. I did read that. Yeah, Bradley Cooper's baby mama, Irina Shayk. Yeah, I'm into it.
They're not divorced yet. Kim and Kanye are not divorced. How long do you have to wait?
Doesn't matter. They're separated.
I know, but they're not. It's not official. Should that affect
divorces take so long? No, they're separated. They're dating other people. For sure, that's fine.
Okay. I'm just saying, I think I don't know if that, I don't know in law terms, if you start dating someone.
When you've
before,
announced we're getting a divorce to the press and put out a statement, it'd be weird if you were still being monogamous just because the papers hadn't come in. And that goes for anyone who is waiting to divorce. Once you're separated and living in separate places, even if you're sleeping in separate bedrooms, I think it's generally okay to start dating. For your dad, he started dating before they announced their divorce.
And she wasn't even a model with three kids. Okay. Yeah, I know. Ugh. It was a...
Next story.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Was there more to that?
Yeah. No. Okay, so the next story is ABC's reboot.
Seeing that clip on Reddit of Kanye West talking about that kid, the Make-A-Wish, I thought to myself, I would be a great girlfriend to Kanye. I like crazy people. I like people with mental illness. I would definitely laugh at the story he told. I think he's a genius. And I love men who are like broken inside, and not because I can fix them, but because I just want to make them feel safe and loved. And I have a lot of love to give. And I was like, I could date Kanye West. Like, it'll never happen, but I would, and I could, because throw now he's single, there. Even though he hasn't divorced. Well, Kanye, if you're listening and you're not, I'll sit in the back of a car with you and laugh about your anecdotes about visiting Make-A-Wish kids.
I'm sure he'd be so chill. He seems like a chill guy.
I don't know the times. I know he's no one's just what they seem all the time, but I can't.
Sarcastic.
You're right.
I think he would.
No,
be
of course he'd be terrible. He's just bipolar and he doesn't take his meds. It would be very hard. But I'm up for the challenge.
ABC's reboot of the Celebrity Dating Game gives famous singles an opportunity to find Mr. Right. You were dying to be on this show.
Fuck this show. Fuck this show. I guess about this show.
You didn't make it.
ABC's
you didn't make
Celebrity.
It.
Can I read to you what I sent to my agent? So I saw a post about it on Instagram. Celebrity Dating Game, where celebrities come on and do the dating game. B-list, C-list celebrities come on to get matched with other people. And Zooey Deschanel and some other guy is hosting it. I forget who.
It's what's his name? Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton.
Oh, yeah, Michael Bolton.
James
this
Sparrow.
Is a tale of Captain Jack Sparrow. He's so funny in that. Okay, so then I sent him a screenshot, my agent, and this I was like stoned when I did this, but I was fucking mad because I'm an ABC talent. I'm going to tell the truth all the time. I kill it more than anyone on that show. Not more than anyone on the show, but I'm one of the people that goes on and like really works hard and like does a good job. That's why they've had me back for like 18 seasons of it. I also was a guest host for Jimmy Kimmel, ABC. I was on Dancing with the Stars. They didn't care for me there, but that was long ago after I've established a better relationship. And I sent the screenshot of Zooey Deschanel's poster for it. I said, honestly, the people that cast this, I go, I am a single woman who's funny, talks about sex all the time. All I do is talk about being single. I am an ABC talent. I know how to be squeaky clean on ABC. I'm perfect for this. It's such bad casting to not put me in it. And that's not me being like, I'm the best. I'm terrible at certain things. Couldn't be more the thing they should put me in.
Your mom's here.
Hi, Mom.
Hi,
you look beautiful.
Honey.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Andrew, will you just hold the mic so it's you and her? Like, you're the one controlling it?
Yeah,
because my
for
mom
sure.
doesn't understand
or
mics.
You can give her the other mic.
Oh, no, yeah, you can give her the other mic if you want.
We put the guest
okay, don't
in here.
Sit on this thing.
Okay.
All right, so Andrew,
yeah,
let's do our sports moment now that my mom's here. Mom, once a week we do a sports moment. We let Andrew have a sports news segment. So let's get to that. Noah, bring us in. Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Oh, man, sounds more exciting every week. Okay, so injured Wizards star Russell Westbrook has been restrained after Sixer fan dumps popcorn on him. So Russell Westbrook, who's a very amazing point guard who, like, averages triple-doubles, he's top 10 in the league. He was leaving. He was hurt. He got hurt during the game, and while leaving, someone threw fucking popcorn all over him, and he lost his mind.
Just plain stupidity.
Whoa.
Somebody pouring some popcorn and any athlete being
and
Westbrook
now he is
or whomever.
Like shoving the people holding him back. What's he doing? Oh, calm down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's annoying. This is not about the popcorn. This is not about the popcorn. This is about whatever just happened to him on the court, right?
It's about disrespect. It's about treating these people not like humans. You think that they're just these sports stars that you could just beat the shit out or whatever, throw shit on because you're mad at them. Like, they're human beings.
I get it, but...
And there's a lot of butter on that popcorn. It's annoying. It's on your shoulders. Tough.
Of course. I think it's so disrespectful and fans are animals.
It is
and
disrespectful.
Yes. But that guy's being paid so many millions of dollars to throw a ball around on a court for fans that are paying. If you get some popcorn spilled on you by a drunk fan who doesn't like your team... I mean, isn't that just like part of the, like, shouldn't you take that anger and not take it out on the security guards holding you back and like maybe just go, oh, that guy's an ass. Like, I get it. I mean, I've never had popcorn thrown at me, so I don't, I don't pretend to understand, but it didn't Ron Artest do this to a, like, wasn't that the moment that everyone talks about?
Yeah. Ron Artest the crowd got a beer thrown on him. So it was really wet popcorn, but he got mm-hmm. drilled with a beer in the face at a Pistons game when he was playing for the Pacers, and he ran up about 20 things.
I remember the video was a huge cultural moment.
Yeah, I mean, it was a full-on brawl. I mean,
so wait, why was he leaving the court, Westbrook?
Because he was hurt. So imagine you're
hurt.
Okay,
that's what he's mad. That's what he's mad about.
Yes, for sure.
No, but he's frustrated already, and then the popcorn is the light that ignited the gasoline that was all over him already. And then he needed to go kill that guy, which makes sense. The guy's an asshole. Russell.
He's ridiculous to throw popcorn on a player. Right.
Also, he's on video. I forgot on video. Like, I mean, the guy's going to get caught.
But if he was just leaving the court without that, he wouldn't have lashed out that way. Like, that's when you have road rage because someone cut you off. Yes, they're an asshole for cutting you off, but your rage at them is not coming from that. It's coming from the fact that the rest of your day, and people just need to acknowledge that. That it wasn't about the popcorn.
I think it was probably 60-40 popcorn to just leaving.
You think if he was just walking off and there was no injury, no embarrassment. I just don't believe that. And I think my listeners are emotionally intelligent enough to also believe that it was not 60-40. It was probably 10% popcorn, 80-90% and the injury.
What? No, it's in the moment. It's in the. He's reacting in the moment. He's fucking.
I know we all react in the moment, but we don't realize that all the powder keg inside of us is built up from our parents, the trauma we had as children, the what just happened on the court,
Lord.
Being injured, knowing that you're going to lose money. It's all of that. If you're someone who meditates and has done work on yourself and won't let the actions of others affect you. I'm not there. I'm saying that was like where I would like to be. When I spill something or something happens to me, I don't go, motherfuck my coffee. Because even though I want to, because that would release anger that I have about not getting put on celebrity dating game. I don't do that because I know that that is an irrational response to popcorn being thrown at me. And by the way, it was not thrown all over him. There was a couple pieces, and maybe the guy did mean to throw it and missed and is a worse athlete than Russell Westbrook, but it was a couple pieces. I did not see a big thing of popcorn hit him in the face. I'm sorry. It was not, the reaction was not equal to the, it was, I don't think
you
it was
sound
justified.
Like a defense but attorney for the popcorn guy. You sound like the popcorn guy should be almost, you're almost blaming Russell Westbrook for getting angry and not the pop. Everyone else is going after the popcorn guy.
Yeah,
you're saying,
because you are to blame for your reaction. No one, and you're not because there's no free will. But the way you react to things, when people goes, he made me upset by throwing popcorn. You got upset about the popcorn. The popcorn has nothing to do. You could choose to not
what
be upset by
nachos?
The popcorn.
What if it was nacho cheese?
Of course, with beer in it. There are some people that could have a shoe thrown at their head and dodge it like George W. Bush and make a funny joke and not go, ah! You know, like there is a way to temper that and not lash out. This is anger management 101.
And that's
Noah,
how Russell Westbrook
is known.
When
you have anger issues, when you fly off the handle, Noah, when you have a moment where you're embarrassed that your anger, you lose control, is it about the thing or do you think maybe it's about other stuff and the thing is just it is about the thing, but is it really, if it was just that thing and you had a great day, would you react that way, that intensely?
If I had a great day, I would not. It's just like a bubbling up of all these things, and that's the thing that
unzips
it. And
you finally have a release valve that you can excuse your rage on. Yeah. Now, finally, I get to punch someone, even though I've been wanting to punch everyone today, even myself, because I'm having a low self-esteem day. Now I can punch this guy because I'm justified because he threw popcorn on me. It's an excuse. I'm not blaming Russell. I'm not blaming the popcorn guy. I think they're both, and the popcorn guy threw the popcorn and was angry at Russell Wilson or Westbrook because he's going through stuff at home. He probably got into a fight with his wife. He's angry. He got drunk. He's mad at this guy now because he's injured and now the team is going to suffer whatever it was, or maybe he hates him because he's supporting the other team. And he threw the popcorn, not because of him, but because of other stuff in his life. Everything is stemming from past trauma. Okay. Listener mail. Here we go.
I want to hear you do.
And anyone who doesn't want to
admit that
to themselves.
I want to hear you do like
anyone that doesn't admit to themselves is lying. Yeah, and I always just say like, he's clearly having a rough day with his girlfriend at home.
Yeah. You're like, he throws a touchdown to the man to number 48. Oh, he must be having a good day at home with his wife.
Oh, there's Tom Brady's parents watching glowingly from the VIP box. You can tell that maybe they put a little bit too much pressure on him. It definitely resulted in having an amazing athlete of a son, but is it worth it? I wonder if Tom is maybe feeling the pressure today and maybe, I don't even know how to talk about football, missed that throw.
Man, Joe Buck would be impressed.
Oh, yeah.
Fumbled that catch because he's mad at his dad who's sitting up there eating nachos.
Nikki can finally talk about sports now.
That's why I tried to bring it in.
If I wrap it in emotions and parental resentment. Hi, Mom. Welcome to the show. Let's get into listener mail. Let's take go to Lindsay. Has a comment on the take my wife joke.
Hi, Nikki and Andrew and Noah. This is Lindsay from the D.C. area. I am driving to work as a teacher.
Yes.
On the beltway, and I had to pull my car over on the side of the 5-lane beltway after that take my wife, please bit. Oh my gosh, you guys are funny. Thanks for all the swells and laughs. I really enjoy your podcast. Have a great day.
So essentially, we almost caused a 40 people dying on the highway because Noah thought, take my wife, please. What did Noah think? What was Noah's?
You both thought the same thing of like, it's funny because he's telling people to take his wife.
When I got it, I got it wrong. I thought it was like the old fashioned way of saying sex in movies where it's like, I'm going to take my wife.
Oh, but then why would that be funny?
No, it's not.
Know.
Well, I don't know. And honestly, I still don't understand. That's my confession.
Oh my God. No, that's okay.
We can't get into it.
No, I heard this one. This I did hear. And
because Dad called in and you guys had to listen to it.
Well, was your dad on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we called him to get confirmation that take my wife, please.
Oh, that's
the
what
joke
it was.
That is a classic joke.
Yes.
Yeah, so Dad had to listen to himself. Okay, let's get to the next listener mail.
Hi, besties. I bought a ticket for Nikki's show in Orlando on September 10th, but I don't currently have a friend to go with me. I'm comfortable doing things on myself, but I've never been to a comedy show solo. Do you have any advice for going alone? Will I feel awkward sitting by myself, or will it be okay with the seating set up? Thanks for any advice. I'm really excited to go. Thank you.
Cute. Christine, thank you so much for buying a ticket to my tour, One Night with Nikki Glaser. Dates are all available to check out and buy tickets to at nikkiglaser.com/tour. I implore you to go alone. I think it's so cool for people to go alone. My first stand-up show was Dave Chappelle. I bought a ticket to it when I was going to school in Boulder. I had never seen stand-up before. I took many buses to downtown Denver in 2003 because I knew him from You've Got Mail. I'd never even heard of him before, but I was like, Googled stand-up because I was starting to think about being a stand-up because people told me I should. I'd signed up for a stand-up showcase, hadn't started writing it, was like, I need to go see a stand-up show. Denver stand-up, what's happening? Dave Chappelle. Oh, that's the guy from You've Got Mail that I love. So I took buses down, went by myself, and it was a great experience because other people were there as his fans and like adopted me into their circles. I was literally the only white person there, by the way. And there were people dancing on the stage, grinding on each other. It was like a whole, it was a concert. It was insane. I really don't remember most of it because it was just like, I was just so young and whatever. But going to concerts alone is cool. Going to concerts, going to comedy shows alone is cool. I'm not going to ever call you out and make fun of you. And I think that just sitting there confidently knowing that you're going alone and this is what you want to do. And before the show, there might be people around you with friends and you're like, oh my God, I feel dumb. I go to Wilco shows alone because none of my friends love Wilco as much as me. And I just I don't want anyone burdened by me acting like an idiot of how much I love this because it's kind of embarrassing. So I go alone to things and you end up meeting other fans that are just as passionate as you. And I think it's cooler to go alone than not alone. I think it's just really like bold and I think you really own it and you go and anytime you feel insecurity, like go look at your phone or whatever. That's what phones are for, to make you feel like, oh, I'm texting someone who's about to meet me. But don't even pretend. Just be there alone and be confident that I want you there alone and you're allowed to be there alone. And it's actually cooler to go alone because it shows that you are secure with yourself, because people who don't go alone and need someone to go with, they're at home wishing they had gone and watching my special that they've already seen.
Yes.
Right?
Good advice.
Yeah, and bring a laptop and pretend you're writing a screenplay and you're not even that interested.
You're very busy. But
like, I'm just here, whatever. You know.
I have to go.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't mean to be rude, but I really do. I'm
a Goodwill rack's coming out soon?
I think a Goodwill rack's coming
out. Get it.
Soon. Okay. I love you. Bye.
Love you too. Next listener. Okay. This is from Instagram. This is a DM we got from XOX from Blake. Period blood in all caps. Hey, bestie, spray Windex and rub table salt. Let soak and then wash normally. You're welcome. Oh, so on your vagina, spray Windex and rub table salt. And then you, oh, wait, no, they're talking about.
What was this in reference to?
Clothing.
A stain.
Oh.
Also, Blake is a woman. If you think Blake's a man, this comes off like a murderer.
Oh,
you know
right.
What I mean?
So like, Blake told me to Windex. That's interesting. And table salt. Okay. We got to get both those things. I thought this was maybe the father from My Big Fat Greek Wedding giving, a yeast infection cure.
Well, the one girl said for your vagina smells boric acid, which acid in your vagina sounds scary. But
my vagina doesn't smell, but.
Not yours. I'm saying if your vagina
sometimes
smells.
Sometimes it does, but. Oh, okay. Boric acid supplements. Okay.
And then this was from
Cecily. Cecily said, a DM, I listened to the Sex with Emily episode last night before bed and had a great sex dream and woke up having to masturbate to finish myself off. Yes. Love the pod so much. Thank you for creating something so fun, honest, and vulnerable. Love you, besties. All this well. Cecily, that's so exciting to wake up horny and just like go at it. Yes. I love that we're like getting in people's like minds and it's affecting their dream state. People have dreams about me a lot. Someone said that they were listening. They were reading a book and they listened to the podcast so much that the voice they heard when they were reading the book was my voice narrating it. And I was like, you need to send me a check then, bitch.
You're like,
because you got a free
audiobook
in your head.
I had to pull over my Yaris and masturbate on the side of I-95.
And she was reading,
yeah, she was listening to a self-help book of don't.
She was reading Night by Ailey Wiesel, which is not an appropriate book to masturbate to. Okay, let's get to Lakin. Lakin left us a voice message.
Love that name, Lakin.
First of all, I'd just like to say how awkward leaving a voice message is. So I'm definitely not going to re-listen to this, but I've been listening since the beginning and I had a busy couple of weeks. So I'm just going back to play a little catch up. And I was listening to Puka's in the Back episode. And Andrew had mentioned the Toyota way. And this is so random, but I just finished a like final project for one of my classes that was about Toyota and GM partnering and stuff in the Toyota way. So I just think it's, you know, it's weird.
Whoa.
We're all like connected in the universe somehow. Everybody's, I don't know, just gives me all
love
the
that Lakin. Was the Toyota
know?
Way meaning like when you worked at that factory?
I mean, the Toyota way is like a when I worked at the factory and implementing
like,
what
they do
at Toyota
way.
Yeah, you got to bring the Toyota way.
And, like everyone can contribute the Toyota way. Was that the Toyota way that you were talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Toyota has a whole system of like eliminating inventory and making it run smoother.
Right.
And so you could apply what they do in their factory to like
what
some
shithole
factory. Huh?
What does Noah call this?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Toyota. But you said Toyota one time. Wait,
no,
what did you say?
No, I call it Toyota.
No, that's the right way.
Toyota is the right way.
And you were saying what?
Toyota.
Yeah, Toyota.
Oh, I thought you were saying Toyota. All right, well.
Toyota.
Toyota. Oh, yeah. It sounds like a drug you'd trip in Arizona in the fucking Badlands.
Sounds
Toyota.
Like Taylor Swift fucked Yoda. Toyota.
Oh my God. I'm going to wake up from a dream and start coming. That sounds like a dream that I would have.
I was thinking about this. Right. Someone talked about this before that if you come when you're sleeping, right? You have a wet dream. Could it be a ghost gave you a blowjob or head in your sleep?
Could be.
Just think about it.
Just think about it. Yeah, maybe a ghosty hand. Final thought. Last night I went to Supernova. It was so much fun. Ben Glebe was there, good friend of mine. He ran for president. I did a set, even though I wasn't on the bill. I met two new female comics who I love, Nikki Bon, B-O-N, spelled the same way as Nikki, my name. And then another girl named Monterey, M-O-N-E-R-A-Y. What is her last name? Monterey Elaine something. She was awesome. And we had like the best hang in the Monterey Elaine Martinez. We had the best time hanging in the green room back there. And it just reminded me of, like, I just stayed out all night, like, socialized. It was just so fun. We told so many stories. Ben Glebe was telling us about all these different times that he's almost banged, like, really famous, or had a chance with really famous Hollywood women, which he's shared on our show, You Up, before. But he was regaling us backstage. And so then when I went on stage to do my set, I was like, Ben. I got on stage and I go, do you guys like Ben? Because Ben brought me up. And I was like, I actually like Ben. Do you remember when I cast you in a sketch? Because I just wanted to make out with you. And I was like, I like Harvey Weinstein'd you. I was like, I literally was like 26, five, six. And I was like, I want to make out with a boy. And my friend had asked me to like write a script because he was like, I got some access to some great equipment. He was a director and was like, I want to shoot a sketch. I don't have a script. And I was like, I'll write one. And I was like, I kind of want to make out with a boy. So I just wrote a script where a girl just makes out with a guy in a car for like the whole time.
I feel like that's how all movies started initially. Like, hey, I'm not that attractive. I have money. How can I make like the hottest girl on earth fuck me? Like,
I know,
with a sock on my cock.
It's kind of creepy to admit that I did that, but I didn't think there was anything. He's actually a good actor too. And I was just like, hey, Ben, you want to be in this? And then he came over to my place and it was really funny. I ended up not doing any material last night, like literally any, because I told that story and it was really fun. The story was great. And then I was like, Ben, and Ben's just watching in the wings, and I go, come back up here and tell us about how you almost got Natalie Portman. And then it was an intimate-ish crowd, and the crowd just got to hear this like great story. And I had just heard it backstage, so I was able to like pepper in stuff.
How did he do it? How did he almost get Natalie Portman?
Well, I mean, this is every guy's dream. You're just gonna have to go back in time. And he was at a fundraiser and he said something really charming and she was captivated. And then she was like, we have to come see your comedy. And then he had a chance and he kept blowing it. It's just so good. The story.
Did
like
he perform at the fundraiser?
No, he was just a guy
just
at a fundraiser.
Went up to her? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was in a conversation with a bunch of people and then he shared something about himself that was vulnerable. And she was like, oh my God, that's amazing. But at one point during his rendition, I was playing Natalie Portman so that the audience could see like where she was standing, how close. I go, how close were you guys? And he goes, but she's like really tiny. And I go, oh yeah, can everyone suspend their disbelief that, you know, picture Nikki, but like tiny. Yeah, and it was just like it was really funny. And it was just so fun. And I got off stage and everyone's like, oh my God. And Ben's like, that was so much fun. I'm like, I think like, I know that people want to see stand-up comedy and like see just a comic monologizing, but I think two comics telling a story that they don't normally tell and being able to spice it up is like so much more interesting and fun sometimes. And it made it more fun for me. I was looking at my notes. I was like, I don't want to talk about molestation right now. I want to finish Ben Glebe's story. So it's just like a really, really fun moment. And I went home and ate a lot of Thai food.
I guess like just being able to apply that to when you write in the future or like whatever you want to talk about. I mean, what, you know what I mean? Like what, instead of talking about, you know, just tell a fun story, like, and that would be enough. You know what I mean? Like, well, I sometimes I feel like with stand up, you got to be like, what is my take on this? Or what's going to be my interesting. And it's like, oh no, people just want to laugh and enjoy a fun story. You know what I mean? Without
that, it doesn't. Do.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyhow.
But the thing I won't do, why I don't like bringing people up on stage to tell stories, because it's the one time that I did it at a gig that people were paying to see me. I was in a really bad place mentally and I didn't want to do material. So I brought Pete Lee on stage to just like talk about our life and share stories and have this impromptu like thing. And I got messages after the show, even though it was so fun and I felt like the crowd loved it. I know how to read people in audiences. And I got one message afterwards that was like, that's not what I paid for. I paid to hear you, not this other guy and you talk the whole time and be funny. And I was like, okay, well, I guess, and last night I felt justified. If someone didn't like it, my name wasn't on the bill, so I wasn't expected to do anything. What do you think about that?
I think, yeah, again, we're just paying attention to the one negative thing, and literally, you 900 people had a good time, and we got to stop fucking reading those messages and comments. And even if we get them, we don't respond because it's just popcorn being poured on our head. And let the popcorn come in, motherfucker, because you're not going to ruin my day.
Let the popcorn fall. All right, guys. Great show today. Great week of shows. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you on Monday and have the uncursed weekend.
Uncursed, but care too.